FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Zidane! Oh, fantastic! Batistuta! Oh, what a fantastic hit! Probably will have to do it alone. Oh! And here's Raul! Oh, he's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká!
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
We've been doing it all week. Everyone thinks it's Adriano. It's not really. It's George Denikin, because Adriano is away. So I've stepped in to help him, and because he's helped me. And I'm even recruiting Louise Stafford to help us today as well. And we're even going to reach out to a former NSL star, a guy who's played overseas. He's played in a number of different competitions. Just to help us with the Euro show today. Match day 6, we've got some fantastic results from overnight. And importantly, we'll be talking to our guest. But just before we do that, let me go through the results this morning. Benfica lost for the umpteenth time to Basel, which meant that Basel got through, which is fantastic. Manchester United, after going behind, managed to beat CSK Moscow 2-1. Bayern beat PSG 3-1. Celtic, very narrow loss to Anderlecht, but I think the result doesn't really mean much because they're going to head the group, even though they finish level with the team that ultimately will finish second, because head-to-head, they got ahead of them. Chelsea could only finish with a 1-1 draw against Atletico Madrid in Stamford Bridge. Roma and Karabag played out an interesting but very narrow win for Roma. And that means that now Roma jump-starts Chelsea and takes over the group, which is fantastic news for all those fans of Roma. Barcelona continued to go on its winning ways, beating Sporting 2-0. And Olympiacos ran into a juggernaut called Juventus and lost 2-0. In fact, before we go to our guest, let's just take in some of the highlights and some of the fabulous goals that were scored overnight in Europe this morning.
Luis Suarez, all neatly done. Very good save from Rui Patricio. Flick on! Oh, an excellent goal from Paco Alcácer. Past a helpless Rui Patricio. Power and direction on the Alcácer header. Barcelona 1, Sporting Lisbon 0. The Barcelona supporters tonight, and having gone a goal down, Sporting now have to face Messi. Fernandez looking for Martins. Now he can get the cross in. Decided not to take it on first time. Whipped in by Fernandez. Brilliant save by Cillessen. What an outstanding stop either side of Cillessen than he would have done. Goalkeeper with an outstretched right leg. Forceful run from Denis Suarez. Here's Messi. Here now is Messi waiting for support from Alcácer. Perfectly timed run. Deflects just wide. Will be a corner. He's played the most delightful ball. Didn't have to break his stride, did he? Certainly took a deflection on its way wide. Will qualify for the last 16. Barcelona looking to put some gloss on it now. And they have. It's an own goal from Jeremy Mathieu. It's disappointing to score a goal at the best of times, but against one of your former clubs. Felt he had to get a touch there to prevent it reaching. Here comes Ribery running at the defence. Support here from James Rodriguez. Over it comes. Lewandowski turns and scores. Robert Lewandowski, so close to goal, rarely misses a chance like that. The flag stayed down and Bayern have the lead. As Mbappe slides it through into Neymar. And the point almost proven there in a flash. Ribery now with James Rodriguez. Curling that one in. Good ball. It's 2-0. Tolisso, pinpoint cross, superb header. Paris Saint-Germain looking to make a fast start here. It's into Mbappe, and they're back in the game. A little flick inside, and Kylian Mbappe was there. 5 minutes into the second half, it's Bayern Munich 2, Paris Saint-Germain 1. Paris Saint-Germain look a different team here in the second half. Neymar into Mbappe. Great shot, beaten away by Ulreich. 21 and a half minutes remaining here. This is good play. Bayern with a chance to break now. Into the penalty area. It's three. Tolisso's there again. His second goal of the night. And just when Paris Saint-Germain were coming right back into the game. There goes the final whistle. And Paris Saint-Germain beaten in the Champions League for the first time this season by Bayern Munich, who restore a measure of pride and got a bit of revenge back after that 3-0 thumping at the Parc des Princes earlier in the campaign. Bayern Munich 3, Paris Saint-Germain 1.
You're listening to some of the action that took place this morning overseas in Europe. This is the Euro Show. George Denikin standing in for Adriano Del Monte. And my guest in the studio is Louise Tapper. And you've come in because you've heard that I've got a guest.
I have, George.
And you said,
Matt Bruick's not in today.
You said, let me introduce Andrew. And I thought, okay, fine.
Yes, George, we're going to cross live to former Socceroo, former NSL star with Sydney Olympic. He also played 187 games for Reading. He was Manchester United's Class of 92 star, David Beckham's personal assistant.
Hello.
And now he's training and developing some of the youth players in Canberra. We have Andy Bernal on the line. Andy, thank you so much for joining us on the Euro Show.
Hello to you both, and thank you for having me on.
No, mate, anytime.
It's a pleasure.
Anytime. This is the part I didn't know. I had no idea you were the personal assistant for the man himself, David Beckham.
The year before, I was working with David Beckham's agent in London, and I was part of the whole process of the transfer to Real Madrid, and then it was, my mum and dad are Spanish, so it kind of flowed on to personal assistant, football manager in Madrid, interpreter, entertainment officer, and I better stop there, George. Hey,
tell me something. You did start at Jerez and Sporting Gijón, did you not, at early stages of your career overseas?
Yeah, I'm very proud to say that I was the first Australian and first guy to be a Socceroo to actually play in Spain. Mm. And I signed for Sporting Gijón, who at the time were a very powerful team in Spain. I played a couple of League Cup matches for them, and I was still young. I was a baby at 18, and they loaned me out to Jerez and to Albacete, which is Iniesta's old team. And by the age of 20, I'd played about 80 games in the Spanish.
Mate, that's some serious elite pedigree.
there you go.
That's fantastic. Can I just add, what people don't truly appreciate is when you think that of the Australians playing in La Liga, there was Johnny Aloisi, yeah?
Yes.
There's yourself, and only one or two others.
Vidmar and Matty Vidmar played for
season
two, and Matty Ryan at Valencia had a little spell. So it's, when you look at it like that, to have spent 2-3 seasons playing in those leagues, La Liga, the Segunda División, it's something that, the facts tell you. You know, there's only 3-4 Australians that have ever able to achieve that. So, as I get a little older, you look back and you go, that is an achievement, and it's not an easy one, but it's not impossible.
What did your parents make of that move and those early strides that you were making to carve out a career for yourself in Europe?
Oh, look, going to Spain was very, very important and very emotional on many levels. My parents had to leave Spain as migrants to come to Australia just because they were very poor, as many migrants were, and had to leave for greener pastures. And for their son to go back and captain the young Socceroos, and then, be able to go back and play in Spain, a country they had to leave because of poverty, was, my mum and dad's first match that they watched me play after I'd left the AIS and been in Spain for a year was at the Mestalla against Valencia in front of 70,000 people. So mum and dad were a very proud moment, mate. It was
mate, they would have been beside themselves.
Oh, It was just, you know, and my dad had always been an Athletic Bilbao fan, never been able to have money to get in. He used to kind of crawl up the stands and get a little sneak peek. And to then go and play at San Mamés against Bilbao was, and him watch me was, you know, just things money can't buy, George. And you know what? I think today's social media and everything creates greater brands and greater awareness of everything. But, you know, imagine if I had if we had Facebook and social media and phones, you know, cameras on our phones 25, 30 years ago. I feel sometimes like, you know, I miss so many wonderful moments through not having the little phone with me.
I understand that, but it's also a lot safer too.
Yes. So it's, look, it works in all ways.
Yeah, no. But your comments are 100% true. There are many generations of players who didn't get the opportunity, that have not had a chance to test themselves in the social media world and have, you know, I caught up with David Villa when he was playing for Melbourne City, and yes. I looked at his Twitter followers, 23 million at the time. And then, of course, I thought that was spectacular until I realised that Cristiano Ronaldo has something like 200 million, which is absurd, isn't it?
It's insanity and it's madness, and it's all part of the, you know, the creating of brands now. And you know, for example, you know, it has its negative effect now. You see some of the younger kids coming through in this next generation, and you know, through Instagram and a lot of things like this. They're almost creating their own brands, but they're not even a brand yet. They're nobodies yet. Mm. And it has, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Now, speaking of double-edged swords, you'd be very aware of it because you've played a number of roles, not only footballer, you've been a manager, you've been an agent. All of these things now you have to address with the next young talent that you basically search out.
Yes.
And you need to give them a whole new set of tools to play with, don't you?
Oh, you sure do. You know, I think in my position...
And discipline.
In my position, I'm fortunate to still manage Socceroo star Tom Rogic with my partner in London.
Did he play this morning?
He came on the second half.
All right, so, okay.
Yeah, he was there, had a role in the second half. It wasn't the result they wanted, but they got through.
They go through because their head-to-head record is better than the opposition.
Yes. So you know, with kids like Tom and a lot of kids, I think the experiences in my lifetime are invaluable, good and bad. You know, we all have great times and some down times in life. And you know, if I can pass that on to all the younger kids now, all the knowledge of life skills, all the knowledge of life experiences, of the football experiences, then, you know, I think it does play an important role. And I think the young generations need more of us old Socceroos.
old hardheads. Andy, I can see a classic opportunity for you and Louise to talk next generation footballers.
1,000,000%.
By the way, how's young Amini going, her brother?
Amani.
Amani, rather. I thought I wore the Amani and his name's Amini, but it's Amani. Yeah. I'm sorry.
He's a young boy that is based in Canberra, and he's with he comes in with a, you know, another group of 8 or 9 boys, and a couple of them have already gone off to A-League clubs. Another one, can't mention a name just yet, will be signing for a Champions League team soon.
Well, you make sure you let FNR know soon enough, all right?
I will, and you know, these boys have come through for want of a better phrase or wording, my old school philosophy. Mm. You know, I've got a boxing MMA gym in Canberra. My son-in-law's a UFC fighter, so it gives me a chance to develop these boys in a real tough, mentally tough environment, and hopefully that then can transfer onto a football pitch, and then it's up to them to become the best of the best and chase their dreams.
Well, there were some fantastic matches played this morning. We had Roma and Karabag, we had Chelsea and Atletico, and I thought that was a really interesting and compelling competition. Of course, Chelsea wanted to go through as the leaders of their group, but they missed that opportunity because they couldn't get past Atletico. They ended up with a draw. Yeah. What did you make of the game?
Look, I think Atletico Madrid, you know, with Simeone in charge, are always going to be a tough nut to crack, whether at home or away. Very disciplined, very hardworking. So it's one of those games where Chelsea would have to, you know, be at their best without fault. You can't always do that. It's dependent upon how good the opposition are on the night, whether you go through first or second. Look, in the Champions League these days, just go through.
Yeah. It's about positioning yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Making yourself available.
Yeah, no, you want to be first and you want to try and get an easier path through to the next. But you know, these are super teams now. All of these teams that we're talking about in the Champions League, you know, there's a creation now of super teams with super technicians, with super athletes, super wages. So, and on any given day, one can beat the other. Prime example, PSG were looking unbeatable. You know, the petrodollars were making them look even more unbelievable. And Bayern Munich, don't underestimate Bayern Munich, a history and a legacy and a fantastic squad now, come out and beat them. And it's not surprising to me. That's football.
Yeah, Bayern this morning, 3-1, led by Lewandowski. Yep. What did you make of the hairdo? He's gone from blonde to what they call blue rinse.
Oh, look, I think...
Is that suit him?
I think it's fantastic, and I think it's why do teams change their shirt colours all the time? I went from...
I like that, Andrew.
So
you're seriously saying this is his brand next branding exercise?
100%. You know, 25 years ago, I went from a fuzzy old Spanishy Italian Greek hairdo to a skinhead in England, and then on to dreadlocks, and then on to... So we all keep changing and creating a different kind of personality or brand or identity for ourselves. And you know what? If it works for him, if it gets him another 20 million followers on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and a couple more top brands come in and put money in his pocket, why not?
Yeah, no. Now, you mentioned young Tom Rogic, who you look after, came on in the second half. That's the game that Celtic played at home against Anderlecht. What did you make of the game? Anderlecht, of course, just getting up in a narrow win, 1-0.
I thought Celtic were not at their best in the first half. I thought Anderlecht needed to really get more of a result than Celtic really needed to. The second half, Celtic were a little better, but overall, Celtic weren't great. They've had 7-8 days of... They copped a pretty big hiding from PSG. Then they played Motherwell, I think, 3 times in 7 days. So, still, they have a big squad, so there's no excuses. They should be beating teams like Anderlecht. But like Bayern, PSG, Anderlecht and Celtic, you would say, you know, two teams, two European Champions League teams that aren't too distant in terms of capabilities and abilities of each other. It's one of those ones where, you know, if you're not, you know, playing at your best and on song, you know, you can be beaten by anybody in that league. And Anderlecht, I think, unless I'm mistaken, lost 2-0 to Celtic at home, you know, a little bit earlier in the championship. So, look, it's a fantastic Champions League. And on any given day, you need to be at your best. And that's what drives the teams to excellence.
Now, I'm going to ask you about that drive to excellence, and I'm going to ask you what it takes and how easy it is or how difficult it is to overcome getting wiped out 7-0 or 7-1 and getting ready for your next challenge. We'll do that, though, when we come back after this break. You're listening to the Euro Show with George Tanikin and Louise Taffer, who did the introductions and introduced me to Andrew, who's on the line. Andrew Bernal, and importantly, we've got a number of opportunities to talk to you, and you can talk to us about anything that cropped up in Europe overnight or this morning. That phone number, and we have a panettone from Ital to give away to the best caller and the most interesting tweet. The phone number is very simple: 03-9944-9999.
FNR Football Nation Radio.
Zidane! Oh, fantastic! Rakitic, Tuta! Oh, what a fantastic hit! Henry will have to do it alone. Oh, and here's Raul!
He's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
It normally is Adriano, but not this time around. It's George Tanikin standing in. And along with me in the studio is Louise Taffer. And on the line, our guest is Andrew Bernal. And importantly, you would know some of those names that we've just played, like Batistuta, Toto Schillaci. All those names would resonate for you, wouldn't they, Andrew?
Oh, certainly. I had the great pleasure and honour of playing against Batistuta, Caniggia, Redondo for a fantastic Argentina side. Played for the Socceroos against them at the River Plate Stadium, which was a dream come true. It was at a time where I was still playing in the NSL for Sydney Olympic. We were playing, I think, South Melbourne 1 week, and the next week we were all lined up at the River Plate against Batistuta and Caniggia up front. At the time, they were the leading goal scorers in the Italian Serie A. So there you go, the things that would surprise people in football.
Now, speaking of leading goal scorers, Andy, Celtic played Paris the other day, and Paris put 7 past Celtic.
Ouch.
I mean, we talk a lot about mental toughness. How do you come back from a defeat like that?
Oh, look, you're talking about a squad full of Scottish internationals, some Swedish internationals, some Croatian internationals. With Tommy, you've got a Socceroo. These are players that are fantastic professionals that have won many trophies in Scotland, that have had success around the world with their national teams. And, you know, well, while it is... You know, I wouldn't say embarrassing or humiliating. Some might see it that way. It's, you know, it was a bit of a spanking. But you know, what can you do? You on the night you're beaten by a far superior side, whose night it was to be that way, and everything they seem to do, you know, turned to gold. And Celtic had no answers, and as good professionals, you just got to, you know, the great thing about football is, you know, you've got something to look forward to next week, and the next week, and the next week, and the, you know, the bad sides, you know, and the bad environments, the bad football cultures, and the bad teams will continue to not grow or learn from it. But a team like Celtic, with all those fantastic players and a wonderful manager like Brendan in charge, that was soon forgotten. You know, and they were winning a domestic cup the next week, and you know, they now didn't win last night, but they've qualified for the Europa Cup. So, you know, losing to Paris Saint-Germain 7-1, a team inspired by a wonderful Neymar and many other guys. You know, it is what it is. You know, you try and be better against them next time. But it shows now, even, you know, amongst the elite of the world, you know, the petrodollars, the billionaires getting involved with buying the big teams, there's starting to be a group of 5-6, you know, super sides, you know, Galactico sides that are even better than the fantastic sides that we all know of.
Yeah, you don't have one Los Galacticos. You have, as you said, half a dozen. Now, let me take the count of you. Paris Saint-Germain have now lost to Bayern, okay?
Yes.
Now, only earlier in the week, they got beat at home in Ligue 1. Now,
yes.
Let's take the count of you. How tough is it to get them back on the winning trail?
Oh, look. Have a look at their squad.
Yes. Mbappe, Cavani, Neymar, yeah. And on it goes.
So, at some stage, like a fantastic cricketer that goes through maybe a lean spell, that has to turn at some time. And, you know, they may lose one or two. But if you're a betting man, you know, and you were going to bet $1,000 every week on PSG, I reckon they'd probably win 48 weeks and maybe lose four all season. So while it may be a little bit of a shock that they lost in the league or even tonight, some people, you know, I don't find it a shock to losing to Bayern. But it also, you know, it will tell their coaches and them as players that, yes, they are a super outfit. Yes, they have wonderful players. Yes, they're all well rewarded. But every time somebody plays against you, even the other super teams now, they're going to bring their A game. And that's why, if you look at the greats of, for example, so I respect the greats of, say, tennis like Federer and Nadal. And you know, these people consistently over 10, 12, 15 years, you know, top 1, 2, 3 in the world.
Yeah, find a way to win regularly.
Yeah, and everybody, every day, every game is bringing their A game against them. So you can't afford to have bad days. And it's just simply amazing, you know, to get off the football track a bit, but more on a mental ideology type thing. Yeah, Federer and Nadal, it's unbelievable. And that's what the football, you know, teams and coaches need to create now. You can't afford to be PSG and just roll up to Bayern or Barca. You can't do it.
Now, we're talking to Andrew Bernal on the Euro Show on FNR, Football Nation Radio, George Stanikin along with Louise Taffer. Now, you talked very early on about the new tools, the new branding exercises that everyone has to get on top of and control. Now, how hard must it be for all these super clubs now that are being built with super egos? You played in some teams that had some terrific characters, larger than life.
Yes.
What are the lessons that you know, we need to understand if we're thinking about how our team might perform in the next few weeks through the rest of this tournament in Europe?
Well, look, there's different levels of the branding.
How do you cope with the Neymar and Cavani exercise? I'm going to take the penalties and I'm going to take the free kicks and I'll do this and I'll do that. How do you cope with that, Andrew?
Well, that's where a manager has to earn his money. the great managers are able to do it, and they need to almost become fantastic psychologists these days. I remember a story, Jose Mourinho turned up to Chelsea on his first appointment, and he went into the car park, and all he could see were Aston Martins and Porsches and Ferraris, and he went into the dressing room and asked everybody in the dressing room, he said, whoever's won the European Champions League, can you put your hand up?
He was the only one?
Yes, he was the only one, him and the masseur that he brought over from Portugal. And Frank Lampard actually said at that point he had us.
Yeah.
He had us mentally and psychologically. So, you know, you've got to play on. I remember taking David Beckham to Ronaldo, the Brazilian's house once, you know, early when we were in Madrid, and it was Ronaldo's birthday, and we went up to the second floor and Ronaldo was showing us all the golden boots and, you know, pictures with him and Senna, paintings, and just the second floor was like a museum. And David at the
like
time...
Like the Louvre.
David at the time, the most expensive player in the world, you know, Manchester United and England captain, he turned to me and he said, I've won nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so there's...
Yeah, he understood. He had to get on the winning trail.
Yeah, so, you know, these players, like, it's like Neymar. How do you get the best out of Neymar?
Mm.
Where's your World Football of the Year trophy?
Uh-huh. Your Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, where is it?
Mm.
So that's what you've got to, like... You've got to play him on that card, I believe, so that then he can be so outstanding that he leads PSG to win everything. Then he gets that one prize that all his money can't buy.
You know, you talked about, you know, Mourinho getting everybody on side by asking that simple question. The great German coach, Otto Rehhagel, who took over the Greek team that was beleaguered and everyone thought was not going to win a game at the Euros back in 2004. And, of course, they won the tournament. You know what he did at the first training session? He asked them all to bring their club shirts. And
right. He
then asked them all to put them in a 44-gallon drum in the middle of the ground. And then he lit a fire and burnt them all.
Beautiful.
And then he immediately handed them 25 new strips, the new Greek strip. And he said, that's yours if you want it. And if you want it, you're in my team. If you don't want it, you can leave now. They won the tournament.
Masterstroke.
Masterstroke, yeah.
So I think these new managers, the new brigade, you know, with the new wages around, you've got to be generals, leaders of men, empowerers of men, but still, you know.
Or young women, as we're seeing now with our Matildas, who are playing so fantastically well under the guidance of Alan Stachic.
Yes. Look, I think I've enjoyed watching the Matildas the last year or two. I've always...
And that's not patronising. That's the real deal, isn't it?
No. Yeah, they've come on, you know, and I'll be the first to admit I wasn't a big fan of women's football, but the liking to it is growing and growing and growing. And you know, I'd go and watch the Matildas anytime now. They've not only achieved great success, but they're playing a brand of football that's actually really attractive to watch. You know, it is what it is.
Now, George, speaking of mental ideologies, Amani was late for training one day, and whenever a player is late for training, Andy makes him do extras.
Okay, has he? And?
I think Amani had to do more extras around the island, what they call the island, do lots of running.
Oh, dear.
And more chin-ups. He's not too good at that.
So, Andrew, the question that his sister has for you is, have you managed to...
break him?
No, I haven't. I get that question from a lot of parents that bring their children, their potential Socceroo stars to me. And I had one father bring a young lad, brought him up the ramp at the Stockade gym and said, oh, look, I respect your football and knowledge and, you know, this and that and what you've achieved in the game, but what's the actual, like, you know, methodology that you use here and your philosophy? And I said, it's really off the cuff, and I really I do all I can to make your son not come back tomorrow.
That's great, isn't it? That's pressure.
And if he comes back tomorrow, he's got a chance.
He's a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, and if he's still here in a year, then I may have something.
Wow, that's fantastic. We're talking to Andrew Bernal about what it takes to make a young champion stand up and really be something different. And whether it's a young boy or it's a young girl or it's a young woman, it's a young man, they're all different and they all need a different stimuli to get them over the line. And Andrew's been giving us some interesting things to ponder and to take on board. Mate, Louise and you need to talk next gen, definitely. We're going to take a break when we come back. More of the Euro Show on FNR.
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Tyre. Oh, it's in there. And they have got the goal, Anderlecht. Peter Gherkin's got it. Jozo Šimunović close to the scene of disaster for Celtic.
Yes, there you go. Anderlecht scoring that one and only goal to defeat Celtic away from home. So, big result, Andrew Bernal?
Yeah, it was... I'm pretty sure Celtic wanted to get a win and go through to the Europa League with even more kind of credibility. And kind of foundation, but they snuck through in the end, and that's what counted. And look, for a team like Celtic to be in that group, you know, Anderlecht are a very good side, and against the two powerhouses, Bayern and PSG, to come third in the group, attached to all their domestic success, is is an achievement. And they're still achieving, and they're improving, and hopefully for young Tom's sake, you know, they're matched with some fantastic teams in the Europa League, and we see him shine even more in Europe.
Mate, there have been some very interesting developments in the last month or so that has impacted on Tommy and others who are part of the Socceroos squad, and that is, of course, the departure of coach Ange Postecoglou, and the news yesterday from FFA that they've set up a bit of a, and I don't use it lightly, but it's a bit of a celebrity panel, a group of Socceroos plus some others. Who by the what we're hearing is mid February are going to select the next candidate to lead the Socceroos in Russia. What did you make of that?
Look, I think it's always good to have some feedback and some positive kind of logic and information from guys that have played at the highest level, that have played for their country, that want their country to keep succeeding, that have played in Europe. So, you know, as a board of the FFA, or the people that are, you know, even above these guys that have been brought in, it starts creating a type scenario where not just one person is in charge of selecting a team or a coach. You know, I think this might be a one-off to select the coach. At the end of the day, I think everybody will have their little say. But there'll be one or two important people that actually run the show that will have the final and ultimate decision.
Have your say right now, foreigner or local?
I don't care. I want
the best person.
And I'm not sitting on the fence. You know, if they pick a local and it's Arnie, for example,
yep,
that would be great. If they go for a foreigner and then there's people that have been branded about, like Koeman and Klinsmann and all of this.
Bielsa, yeah.
Yes. I want someone that stands with the boys for the national anthem and feels the Socceroo blood running through their veins and can empower the boys to go and make a difference on a world stage. Well, we're not ready to win a World Cup, you know, but go get a couple of points. Go and shock a few nations. You know, and Ange was starting to do that.
Yep.
You know, I think Ange kind of created that. So let's get someone to keep... you know, Ange has had his critics. You know, to be honest, we scraped through, and I don't think, you know, we played fantastic football the last 5, 6, 7 months. But I think he's done as best as he could with the players that he had. And, you know, now he's gone. You know, we got to get over it.
Andrew, when you we touched on earlier that you were one of the proudest moments in your life was at River Plate, about to take on Batistuta and co, when you were aware of the Socceroos. Did we suffer from a cultural cringe then, and do we still suffer from a cultural cringe now?
I just think... I'm not sure what's happened to our... I'm not sure whether it's a culture thing. I'm not sure whether it's specifically a football-type thing where we seem to, years ago, have a lot more academies now, a lot more this, a lot more that, a lot more institutes, and, you know, but we seemed 10, 15, 20 years ago to have 30 players that were playing top-level Europe, either EPL, Scotland, Italy, Spain, the Championship. They were all playing in first 11 teams in those competitions, and we don't have that anymore.
Were we hungrier then?
We were prepared to go to war in a more ferocious way. We were almost told to believe that we were inferior technically, and we were this and we were that. So there was this thing that we would go and make people work hard to beat us. And I'm not saying they don't work hard now. I'm just saying it's a
Have we been too gentrified, perhaps?
Yes, I think society is creating a softer breed of human.
There you go.
As the generations go on.
Well, you'd be seeing young talent, male and female, coming through your areas of expertise. You'd be seeing what it takes to lift them, what it takes to drive them, and what it takes to unlock that hunger inside them that makes them want to not only come back tomorrow, but, as you say, come back next week and come back next month and come back a year from now.
Yep. With the Socceroo thing, I think, you know, the A-League created a scenario where a lot of young people can stay here and earn 100 grand a year and 150 grand a year and not have to sit in Millwall's reserves or Reading's reserves or Nottingham Forest reserves for 2-3 years and try and force your way into a team that then plays against Manchester United and Manchester City and Arsenal. There's options to kind of... There's a lot more options now. There's a lot more kind of... there weren't many options when we were playing NSL back then.
Craig Johnstone went to Middlesbrough before he ended up at Liverpool, he did, as he said, anything and everything to just stay there because his parents had made such a sacrifice for him. Are they doing that today?
No, because some will.
Some will, yep.
The three that progress it and playing the higher teams, the better teams, and... I still think we're a very fortunate country, and like I mentioned before, it's easy to come back to an A-League contract if you haven't quite nailed it in Europe, and but a lot of these other nations, the Brazilians, the Argentine boys, the Colombians, within Spain itself.
It's their escape. It's their escape, isn't it, from the streets?
Yes. So culturally... that's why people keep saying, well, why does Argentina keep producing great players and Brazil keep producing great players? One, because genetically, if you look over time and history, that the genetics of the whole development of those people have created wonderful, wonderful athletes. A culture of football, there is nothing else. And
the classic example must be Uruguay, eh? A country so small, and yet it develops, your so-called bang for buck, way above any country should offer.
And I'll give you a European example of that. It's Croatia.
Croatia, yes. What about Iceland? Very small.
Very small, and have created this kind of... football culture, and there's not much else. I don't think they play any other type of football in Iceland, though, do they? We in Australia, could you imagine if we had all our great AFL players,
correct,
that were born with a football at their feet?
Yeah, yeah. Like rugby league, rugby union stars, all of them.
Yeah. So we're doing quite well. We've got to the World Cup again. We scraped through. I don't think the national team, and I don't think I'd be harsh in saying we didn't play that well the last year.
Yep.
Now it's... but again, if you look at Ange purely on what he was there to do, get us to the World Cup, he achieved that.
Absolutely.
So you can't knock that. Whether you play well or bad, he got the team to the World Cup and had every right to be on the plane with them. I don't know any of the politics or what's going on for him to resign. I know Ange. I could say he's a friend of mine. He's done a wonderful job for the Socceroos. It's up now to a new manager to... Finish the job and get in there and empower...
the next group of youngsters, I hear
you. And don't be afraid to bring young kids through.
Totally agree.
To bring one or two or three...
Well, we're seeing it in Europe. We're seeing superstars being created at 18 and 19 years of age. Who would have thought Kylian Mbappe 2 years or 3 years ago would emerge and play the sort of football he's playing? And all the knockers have gone, we can't possibly continue to do this week in, week out. He is.
Yes.
He's been a revelation.
If you get a great kid, that is a fantastic athlete, that has a fantastic brain. You throw him in, surrounded by some older generals, this kid will thrive. This kid will be becoming.
You know the last great little kid that did that? About 17 years of age. It was 1958. His name was Pele.
Thank you.
Thank you. The rest is history. Andrew Bernal, you've been a legend, my friend. I've asked you just to help us through a segment on the Euro show, and you've almost made the show. Thank you very, very much. I promise that we'll talk to you real, real soon. In fact, Louise has already gate-crashed the party and has your number. She has had the number for a while, but she's going to get you definitely for the next generation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
And by the way, best wishes to your dad.
Thank you.
Our thoughts are with you. And, mate, continue to do what you do. Turn young men into winners.
I will, mate. And guess what? I'll leave you on this one, George, because I know you're a Yankees fan. Go Yankees, brother.
You're a gentleman, mate. You're a gentleman.
See ya.
Andrew Bernal on FNR. Back with more in a moment. FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
George Danekian in for Adriana, who's away. By the way, the qualified teams already in the Euro. Group A, Manchester United, the winners. Basel, the runners-up. In Group B, it's PSG has gone through. Runners-up were Bayern, even though Bayern thumped them this morning. Roma has won Group C. Chelsea, the runners-up. D has been taken over by Barcelona, with Juventus, the runners-up there. Group E, still, we remain to see who's going to emerge as the winner there and the runner-up. There are basically four places still remain. Group F has been won by Manchester City, still waiting to see who the runners-up there. Group G is Besiktas, and again we need the new runner-up there. And of course, Group H has already been played and drawn out. We know who the winners are. It's Tottenham. They've topped that group, and Real Madrid has come in second. Thank you for joining us for the Euro Show. A special one. We needed to go to catch up with someone who has had an enormous amount of experience both here and overseas, and one of the few Australians and one of the few Socceroos to play in La Liga, Andrew Bernal. Back with more of the Euro Show tomorrow, once again at 1 o'clock. We'll catch up with Ozan Güncer and a couple of others. Thanks for that.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.